Check, check. Good morning. Check, check. Mic check. Roll Tide, man. You are... No, I say Roll Tide. All right, we'll go with that. Yeah, we lost. That's okay. God is good. He still reigns and rules, right? Sad, sad times. Yeah, anyway, good morning. Welcome to Emmaus Church. My name is Leonard Small. I am in my soul shaken and disturbed. But today I'm finding a way to just encourage myself in the Lord. And I don't know why the Lord just brought this into my spirit. Sometimes we can carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders. And we feel this obligation to carry it. But God says, give them to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But then we hear that, but then we still feel to ourselves like, I got to do this, like, I started this mess, Lord, I'm going to fix it. And he says, your strength is weak. I mean, your strength is weakness compared to me. And then Paul says something that really stirs me when I go back and I think about the implications of it. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's this acknowledgement that I can't do this on my own, Lord. It's this acknowledgement that I have to give it over to you, that I have to trust you. And it's so easy to get in places like this where we just praise and sing praises to God and just sing of his goodness with the crowd and sometimes forget that praise and worship needs to begin in this temple. Acknowledging God's goodness and his grace and his mercy every day, in the good, in the bad, with or without music. Amen? Amen. I don't know why the Lord took me there today, but I need to hear that too, brother. All right, so inside of your church bulletin, there's this little white slip of paper. We're getting ready to receive our offering. If you could take a moment to just let us know that you're here. We're going to be praying for you. If you got any prayer requests, even if you don't have any prayer requests, say, hey, I was here. We're going to be praying for you that God will plug you into a gospel-centered missional church that will just push you towards good works. Today we're going to be praying for just this Jacksonville, this city. I have a newfound love for the city, even though there's not much to love here during monsoon season, right? You know, when it's like raining every 5 minutes. But I do. I love Jacksonville. I love because, you know, this is really bad circular reasoning, okay? So y'all got to forgive me. So God loves people. This city's full of people, so I in turn love the city, all right? So that may be bad circular reason, but we're going to just trust that God will redeem the city, that he would allow us to be lights in darkness. So I'm going to go ahead and call the ushers up. Let us pray for our city. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you today for grace and mercy. Watching us as we slept last night, we couldn't protect ourselves. You dispatched angels around us. You sent your son to die for us. You are a gracious and good father. We don't deserve grace and mercy, but you reveal your love to us by allowing your son to die on a cross, and that to us is just mind-boggling. And from hearts that are thankful, let us pray for our city, Lord. Let us pray for the souls that don't know you. And as we sit here and just marvel and wonder and have all this wonder about what you're doing, Lord God, let us not forget we are surrounded by hurting people. We're surrounded by the effects of sin in the lives of families and neighborhoods. And Lord, the only thing that brings a broken world back together, Lord God, is being reconciled to your son, Jesus. Let us be that for this city. Thank you for this offering about to receive for the building of your kingdom. We pray that we use it in a way that glorifies you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Announcements. A Bible study is starting Mondays at 7 p.m. on September 28th. It'll be a barriers to being a godly man. Like, that alone to me is awesome because there are plenty easily accessible ways for us to fall as men. Anybody agree? Amen. So the contact information is in here. Sign-up sheet in the lobby. Also, another sign-up sheet in the lobby is for the church fellowship dinner, October 14th. We really need a good count on who's gonna be there so we can have enough food. Even though we're a laid-back, come-as-you-are kind of church, we would still like to have a general count for how many people are going to be there. So please go ahead and fill that out And we're going to be just fellowshipping and passing along some really good information. So if you can make it out, go ahead and put your name on there. Next, I'm going to call up Roxanne for an announcement. Oh, that's sweet.
He is sweet. Good morning. I have an announcement for the ladies first. We have some great things coming up. The first is Amy Landry wants to host a four-week book study. Jen Hatmaker has a new book called For the Love, and they will be meeting in Mandarin on Thursday evenings at her home, and her email is in the bulletin, so please consider coming to that. That's for the month of October. And then we're going to be studying Priscilla Shirer's The Armor of God, and she is a fantastic Bible teacher. We'll be doing 7 video sessions. We'll be meeting Monday nights here at Emmaus, and then we'll be meeting Thursday mornings at my home. So I just want all of you ladies, if you can make it, we would love to have you. There are sign-up sheets for the Priscilla Shirer study in the lobby, okay? Yes, there's 2 separate sign-up sheets, so the Thursday morning or the Monday evening. Okay, this week, this is a different announcement for everyone. This week I've been talking with World Relief, and of course, we're all watching the news and seeing there's a refugee crisis happening. So I've been talking with their church contact coordinator. Initially, I wanted to do grocery shopping and meals, but that need has been fulfilled. So they told me 2 ways we could help. So I'm going to present them to you. And then we're going to just pray. If God puts this, you know, if there's a group of people that God brings together, then we're going to move forward. And if not, that's okay. So the ways they need help, one is a long-term commitment. It's a 3 to 6 month commitment. And you become like a, it would be great for a small group of people because you meet weekly. It's an ongoing commitment to help the refugees assimilate into America, okay? And then the other way is we can do special events. One example is on December 19th, you do a Christmas celebration for a family. You might introduce American traditions, bring them gifts. So that's more of a one-time commitment. So we're just praying about, does God want us to be involved in this? Who and how? So one way that he said of an initial step to see if God's prompting you is this Monday at 10:45 p.m., 16 refugees arrive at the airport. What will happen is we'll meet them with balloons and water and signs, and then we will take them to their new apartment and get them settled. We'll be teaching them how to lock their door, how to operate a stove, and things that they're not used to. So that'll be like a 2 to 3 hour commitment. And so that's a late night, early morning. But he said it's a good first step to see if that resonates in your heart. So after the service today, if you are interested in any of that, short-term, long-term, coming to the airport, just come and see me, and we're just going to talk and pray. So thank you. And Greg is going to come up.
That is a great, my name is Greg Friend. That is a great segue into the organization that we're going to be praying for today, International Learning Center. As Roxanne said, there's just been this crisis of migrants and refugees just trying to escape for security and safety. And you may see it as being out there and away from us, but Jacksonville is one of the largest cities in Florida that does resettlement for refugees. And World Relief is one of their point organizations. Another organization is the International Learning Center. The International Learning Center takes them from the initial part of getting them started and getting them into their lives, and it helps them to learn English. Some will come here with good English that they can speak very well, but others will not come here with English that they can speak very well. And so, So what International Learning Center did was they started having English, long-term English lessons. It follows the school year, so it's a 9-month teaching of English. to these refugees. It started with just the women, and it started with later with the men in their companies and that they get assigned to or they get employed by. And it's a great organization to be able to get there and get heart-to-heart, one-on-one or one-on-five group of people that you can get to know from other countries. And they're just, like I say, seeking safety and security. And they have lots of needs right now at the International Learning Center, just like World Relief does. They need teachers to teach English. And teaching English, you don't have to know all the languages. That's what everyone seems to think. You have to know everybody's language. You're teaching English. That's all you need to know. And actually, most people aren't that great at it, like I ain't. But you just need to be able to talk with them and help.
All right, thanks, Greg. So basically, these two organizations that help refugees settle into our city are two organizations that we support financially and otherwise. So let's take a moment and just pray for them and God's work through them. God, thank you that we have an opportunity through these organizations to do what you've commanded us to do and to love the least of these. And God, we pray for these families coming in this next week, God, just unsettled in a whole new environment and place where they don't speak the language, and just pray, God, that you would meet them, and that's most important, that they would meet you. And so use the people who would volunteer to share your love with them, and may it all be for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you this morning. And some of you actually stayed up last night and watched that football game and still made it. And we got some Alabama fans in here. Leonard was rolling. Roll Tide. Someone said low tide. So anyhow, moving right along. Gators didn't look much better. Anyhow, all right. So last week, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And last week, we took some time, and we were talking about how God has created all of us in his image, and he has given us talents, so to speak, things that he's gifted us with that we should use for his kingdom. And he expects us to invest our lives in such a way that there is a return on that investment that he has given to us. And so he's blessed us with gifts and talents that we are supposed to bless the world with. And so we talked about that. We also took some time and looked at Acts chapter 2 and referred to Acts chapter 4, which talks about the early church and how the people who were those first century early Christians, how they lived. And the church looked very different in many ways than what we see today in the church. And it said they were devoted to four things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. So they learned from the apostles the truth of God's word. They were devoted to the fellowship. And we said that's not just hanging out. That's really getting to know people. It's being with them. It's doing life purposefully. Someone afterwards said, you know, I've heard it said by someone, a good analogy of that is like the fellowship of the ring, okay? And I said, man, that's a great analogy, I guess, but I never saw the movie, so I don't know. But sounds good, right? And I know some of you going, you never saw Lord of the Rings? I confess. Hey, I haven't seen Facing the Giants or Fireproof either, so you might be questioning my salvation, but that's okay. But this fellowship, it's more than just hanging out. It's relationships that are meaningful. It's pushing each other toward Jesus. It's about the kingdom, and we need those kind of relationships in our lives. And then it said they spent time eating together, and we talked about how important it is to have our feet under other people's tables and people in our homes and break bread, and then we talked about prayer. And so the early church looked a lot different. I mean, as far as what they focused on and what we focus often on in the church, it looked very different, okay? And so we want to be about what the scripture talks about as being central to the church. So we're going to be focused on God's word. That's going to center us as a congregation. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the great commission to go and make disciples. So it's going to be about that. Now, you may have noticed, we kind of fully moved into the building the last 2 weeks over there. So, praise report, we passed all of our inspections. We're actually illegal in there, and that's awesome. And very, very thankful for that. But this building will not and cannot define us. If it does, then we've missed it. What needs to define us is God's word, God's heart, the relationships that he brings together that form the church, and then to go and share that love with people who are desperately in need, people who need to know Jesus. So encouraging one another and then going and doing what God's called us to do. In John 13, Jesus gives a command to his disciples, and he knows at this point his time on earth is short, so he reminds them of what's most important. It'll come up on the screen, John 13, verses 33 to 35. Dear children, I'll be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I mean, a lot in just a couple little verses, right? Love each other. This is a new command that I'm giving you, okay? Get this one command straight, okay? And really, you'll get it all, and it'll change the world. Love each other the way I've loved you. And Jesus loves unconditionally. He sacrificially laid down his life, and he says, that's how we should love one another. And then the kicker is the world will know that you're my disciples by the way you do this, right? So it's hard at times to love one another. Anybody have people in their life that it's hard to love? Okay? God does that. Like he shapes us and molds us and brings people around us like that. But we're commanded to do that, right? And so as a congregation, in order to love one another, we need to know each other, right? So we need to get to know each other. It's one of the reasons why we're doing this church fellowship dinner. It's one of these reasons why we're going to start two Wednesdays a month having the building open for classes and small groups, and so people can connect and build relationships. We can grow together and then go and do what God's called us to do together. But I just want to say, we can do all of that, but me and you, we have to take steps. So you have to take a step out of your comfort zone sometimes to meet somebody, okay? So you have to try to build relationships. We'll do everything we can to put you in a place where that can happen, but we all need to take those steps because the world will know that we're his disciples not by how good of a service we pull off on Sunday morning. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say the world will know you're my disciples by how well you articulate your doctrinal stance on things. No, the world will know you're my disciples by what? By how you love one another. All right, so to love one another, we need to know one another. And so there's going to be, I've said it 1,000 times, there's going to be congregations in this city that are better than us at fill in the blank. I mean everything, right? I mean, there are people better than us at everything. But if we are a congregation that's focused on loving God and loving one another, I just want to say, there's nothing more that I would ask for in being with a group of people whose lives are centered around Jesus, committed to love him and love one another, and then go and do what he's called us to do. And honestly, I don't care if we got to take 10 rows of chairs out of here and there's only 30 of us left. If that's what we're doing, I'm good with that. If that's our heart and that's our focus. Because we're not trying to just put things out there for people who would consume and just come and see a great show or a great event and then just go about their business. It's about the fellowship. It's about the breaking of bread. It's about loving God and loving one another. So to love one another, you need to know one another. And so this morning, I want to introduce you to a couple in just a moment. Many of you know them or at least know their story. Stephen and Erica Jones, we've prayed for them on a few Sunday mornings, and they recently had a little baby girl named Abigail. I think we have a picture of baby Abigail. It'll come up on the screen. And they found out during the pregnancy that Abigail had some medical issues, okay? Started off with markers toward Down syndrome, and then one test led to another, and next thing you know, Abigail was diagnosed with a very aggressive brain tumor, and they were not given much hope for her to live outside the womb. And so we've prayed for them. Many people have prayed for them. And then I'm going to have Erica and Stephen come up and share a little bit of their story, where things are at right now, and how we can continue to be praying for them. And then we're going to take some time to actually do that. So If you guys will come on up with little Abigail. I'm going to give you that.
Thank you, sir.
I'll let you. And so, you know, just share a little bit kind of from the beginning, what was, you know, what was going on, what doctors told you, and kind of bring us up to speed now, and you guys can pass the microphone back and forth as you feel led, and if you talk too long, I'll take it from you. No, I'm just kidding.
No, to be honest, that's what Erica said. Vic texted me and said, hey, would you guys like to mention, I mean, just give an update, and Erica goes, do you know that, does Vic know that if he gives you a microphone, you might never get off the stage? So, no, so as Vic mentioned, we found out early at about 18 weeks that Abigail had some markers for Down syndrome, and it was kind of a shock when it happened. It really set us back. It really kind of jolted us. But at the time, we said, you know what? God has given us this little blessing, and we're going to accept this, and we're going to move forward. We're going to enjoy our daughter in any way that we can, no matter what she has. So that went by. We came to terms with all that. And then at 30 weeks, we had an ultrasound, and something popped up. It was just a normal ultrasound, and it popped up, and they didn't know what it was. And we did some more ultrasounds, and then a in utero MRI, and they basically said, hey, she has what looks to be a very severe brain tumor. And you can just imagine just that feeling as parents when you get the news that, hey, your daughter's probably not going to live that long outside of the womb. And that's just is what it is. And so that was, we thought we had kind of gotten over that hill with, oh, Down syndrome. And we're like, okay. And then you get hit with the, man, there's a tumor. But all the way through that, we knew that God had a plan for Abigail. We knew that God had created her specifically for a purpose. Just like he's done with all of us, he has a plan for Abigail. And so we just went going through kind of knowing that we might not have a lot of time with her when she came out. I was personally really just praying for a moment. They gave us that thought of, hey, she just might not be here very long. So I was just praying, God, just give me a moment. Give me one moment, one breath, one look, one connection of the eye. And that's what I was really looking for. And God's done amazing things.
So Abigail was born on August 6th. We had a C-section. Her head had gotten to the point where they didn't feel like we could have a vaginal birth. That was a little bit scary for me. We had everything planned out for the 12th, and she had other plans once again. Everything that we have tried to plan out in terms of Miss Abigail has been wrong. So God and Abigail have their own deal, and we're just living in it. So we had the C-section, and she came out perfect. Pink, screaming, yelling. She pooped like 3 times in the OR. And
I was very proud. I mean, a lot of pooping and screaming. I was like, that's my girl.
But we fully went in there, you know, with her labeled as a DNR. I mean, Stephen, before they pulled out the scalpel, was like, look, if there are any issues, she's not going anywhere. She's not going to NICU. She's staying right here with us. But there were no issues. And she came out looking like a normal baby girl, 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Woo, that was a big baby. You know, everything was fine. She showed no signs of distress whatsoever. So the next day we did another MRI with contrast to get a better idea of what we were dealing with. And it was massive. Pretty much her entire left hemisphere of her brain has been replaced by this tumor, which is solid, it's bloody, it's got fluid in it. It's basically a big mess. So, you know, our pediatric neurosurgeon that we met with before she was born came into our hospital room with our hospice folks, who we also met before she was born, you know, sat down and kind of told us kind of the same thing, like, this is fatal, there is no treatment options, really. We could cut it out. It is not inoperable. What, you know, if you've seen all the media stuff, is not technically inoperable, but you know, we can try to cut this out, but it's just going to grow right back, and your daughter's going to spend 3 months in the hospital with me, and she's going to know me better than she's going to know you. And so, you know, she said, my advice is, you know, take her home and love her, and that's what we did.
And I think we have a picture of that first MRI, if you bring that first.
Yeah, so basically everything on the left side, hold on, if you're looking at it, you're right. That's all tumor. Her right hemisphere is that little sliver right there. And that's obviously been severely compressed. That should start in the middle of your skull. But all that big blobby stuff is not brain. And I remember very clearly in the ultrasound when they first saw it, it was not that big, but it was still pretty big. Our obstetrician just looking at us saying, you know, this is brain. This, all that is not brain. And we don't know where the brain went. So.
And so she was born, and it was amazing. It switched our perspective on things because, as you know, we all go through life and think, oh, well, let's plan for next week, next year, 20 or 30 years down the road. But with Abigail, we didn't have that option. We were literally thinking that she could die at any moment. And it just switched us a little bit. It definitely switched me of, okay, what am I spending my time on? How am I interacting with Erica? How am I interacting with Audrey and Abigail? And it really touched us. It's changed. God has really moved on us to make sure that we're spending our time wisely. Because, I mean, we've all read the scripture of, hey, tomorrow's not promised. And it's not. And we didn't think so for Abigail. We were enjoying every moment. It was a week before either of us ever put her down.
Literally.
Yeah,
she was
never out of our arms. She was never.
They told us we couldn't sleep with her.
Yeah. So, and it was just amazing to see what God was doing, but still at the same time, just very gut wrenching, very just painful. Just looking at your daughter, looking at your perfectly beautiful newborn daughter, and knowing she's going to die. And during that time, we were praying for God's will. We were praying, of course, every morning we prayed for God, we just want you to heal Abigail. We want you to heal Abigail. But at the same time, God, that might not be your will. And we really believe that God's will is for everyone to come and know him. And if he can use Abigail to bring people to him, then it's worth it. Amen. Then it's worth it. I mean, that's how we should, I mean, that's what Vic preaches every Sunday of, hey, I mean, it's all about getting people to know Christ. And this little girl, if she can do that and it costs her life, then if it brings somebody and saves somebody from eternity in hell, I mean, shouldn't we all have that opinion as being Christians? Shouldn't we think that? And so Abigail's just done that. And it's been amazing. It's been 6 weeks? 6 weeks. And she's still with us. 6 and a half. And she's still with us. And it has been, and I mean, it has been an amazing, long, and difficult journey that God has just moved on our hearts so much and touched us in ways that we could never understand. And through this whole time, we didn't know what we were going to do, and we got to 6 weeks, and we said, hey, let's do another MRI, because she's doing great. I mean,
not only is she still with us, she's very much alive. She's not dying in any way, shape, or form, and you know, she's gaining weight. She's thriving. So, yeah.
So we did another MRI.
What's going on here, guys? You told us she was going to die, and she's not dying.
We did another MRI this past week on Wednesday. We did another MRI on Wednesday just to check out, see what it was. I mean, hey, she's still doing great. Let's take a shot. Let's see what's going on in there. And then this is what popped up. And it is awesome. It's just God being God. Like, we got so caught up in, I mean, we never thought that we'd actually have moments to live with her. We didn't plan out, hey, we don't even have a room for her. Like, she's sleeping up until last night, was sleeping in our bed with us just because we didn't want to be apart from her. So this came back, and our neurosurgeons here in Jacksonville, they have no idea what's going on. We love God confounds the wise. The worldly wise, he confounds them. And that's what he's doing with Abigail, because we sent up for a second opinion to Boston Children's Hospital, and they said, come on up. We think we can do something about this. And down here, they just don't know what it is. They have no idea. So October 6th, we're going to Boston, and we're believing that she's going to be healed, whether that's through the hand of God and coming down and taking the rest of that out, boom, gone, there you go, or whether that's through the hand of a surgeon. We see God moving in either instance. So we're going up to Boston. Surgery's on the 9th. We're going on the 6th, and we're just and so it's amazing what God's doing. It's amazing what God has been doing through this little girl and touching people's lives and touching our hearts. And then, I mean, just look at it. I mean, seriously, it's huge. It's unbelievable of what God is doing. But also at the same time, and Erica wrote a blog post about this, is what if she does live? We've never thought that. As weird as that might sound, of having a newborn child, we never thought that. We never thought that she would live. Like, and I'm still very hesitant to even open my heart about it, of just even the hope or the opportunity that she's going to be there. Because what happens if she's not? And we're prepared for that. But we just know, and we felt through this entire time, we know God's with us. We know that God has been with us through just the community here. At Emmaus, it's been amazing. We've had so many people just loving on us and praying for us. And prayer really does work. And it really does affect people when they're going through something. Because I was just telling a couple guys during the time is, hey, my alone time or my quiet time with the Lord has not been what it's been in the past. We've got a newborn, we've got a two-year-old, and then all the stress of everything else. And we're just at peace. We're at peace at what God is doing and at peace at what the plan is to come.
Amen. I want to ask the guys from the leadership team to come up, and I want to pray for you guys and for Abigail. And just good to have hope. I remember when it all started, just it was like make funeral arrangements before she's born. I mean, it just was such a crazy thing. And you guys walking through that, and now you're like, oh, we need to make nursery arrangements. We got to have a room for her. And God is doing some incredible things. And so we want to pray and ask God to continue and to heal. I'm going to give this to these guys and pray for you guys for God's grace to continue along the way as you walk through what you're walking through. So you guys join us as we pray for them.
Father, we stand up here amazed at what you do in people's lives. We praise you for this family, the heart you've given them, the perspective you've given them, Lord, on you. We just stand here knowing you're the God of miracles. Mm-hmm. And continue working a miracle, like Stephen said, whatever it would be, Lord, that it's complete healing, that it's healing through the doctors, that it's supernatural healing, but through it all, that people would be brought to you, that the stories that would be told would glorify you, Lord, that mm-hmm. you'd use Abigail in whatever way you see fit, Lord, and continue to strengthen the family, strengthen their hearts, strengthen all of them mm-hmm. as they work through and seeing your will in this, Lord.
Yes, God.
And in it all, your will be done.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we're reminded that every heartbeat and every breath, every single moment of every minute is a gift from you, Lord God, in all of our lives. And how we rush through our lives and rush through our time. And I just thank you that this is a reminder to each one of us how precious our lives are. The lives of those around us are, how every moment is, how precious it is, Lord God. And I just thank you for this family that have stood so strong in their faith. We thank you for the miracle that you perform in our lives, in this baby's life, Lord God. And we hold our breath in expectation, Lord God, of what it is that you're going to do next. And we thank you, Father. We praise you. We know that you're so very good.
Yes, God.
You're good in all, even when we don't understand it, Lord God, you're good. And you always have a good plan and a good purpose. And so we just thank you for peace for the family, Lord, as they travel for this surgery. I ask you that you bless the doctors and the surgeons. Give them wisdom. Guide their hands, Lord. And we just wait with expectation for an awesome testimony of the outcome, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Father, your word says where two or more have gathered together, if it's in your will, you will ask, grant us what we ask for. And Father, we believe right now that it is your will that you would heal Abigail, Father.
Yes.
Father, you've shown progress, Father. You've shown the shrinking of this growth, Father. And Father, we claim that it is your will that this completely disappear, Father.
Yes,
Abigail
God.
Will live a long and fruitful and a loving life, Father. And bring many to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we lift up both Eric and Stephen, Father, that you would continue to give them the strength and the love that they have for their daughter and for you, and the belief that they have in you, Father. Father, we plead the blood of Christ over this family. Father, that it would wash them completely clean, completely clear. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place.
Yes, God.
Father, we know that you are the light of the world, and Father, that darkness cannot exist. And Father, we claim that lightness to fill Abigail right now, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father.
Yes, God.
And
yes.
Give her total and complete healing in her body, her spirit and her mind and her soul.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we just join our hearts together and come before you, the one who's working miracles even as we speak. God, we thank you for the way that Abigail's already touched so many people's lives and the testimony. God, just the glory that you've gotten through it, and we just thank you for that. God, we do. We ask, God, that you would move and bring complete healing to her body. God, bring wisdom to the doctors. We pray for Stephen and Erica. We pray, God, that you would give them strength as they walk through this next season of time. Meet their every need, Lord, financially and in every way. God, help us to know as a congregation, as a family here, how to support them and love them through this. And God, we just thank you. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that as we walk through this, we know that you are walking with us. And God, continue to manifest yourself and your presence to this family. And God, continue to work through them to share your love with people. Just as Stephen shared, Lord, it's about you, and it's about people coming to know you. And this world that we live in, it's not the end game. And help us to be mindful of that and to drink in every day and fullness of joy that we have here with those around us who we love and who love us. And God, may it all be for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks. Thanks, guys. You're welcome. All right. God is good. And we're gonna close here in just a moment and share communion together. And God, knowing our wandering hearts and knowing how we get so tied to this world, he gives us some tangible things that help us to remember what's most important. And communion's one of those things. We break that bread and we drink that cup, and it reminds us of the reality of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so as we pray for miracles, God is the God of miracles. If you're a follower of Jesus and you don't believe in miracles, you're in trouble, okay? Because our faith began with a miracle and the virgin birth and the resurrection, okay? So he's the God of miracles, and he still works those today. But the question that really begs to be answered, and that's tough, is what do you do when the miracle doesn't come? So this first part of the service, that was planned to have them share. This next part, this was not planned. I got a text this morning at about 3:30 in the morning, and from Joe Calandro, and he got a call from the doctors. His mom, Beth Calandro, was in a car accident 9 months ago. She got hit by a fire truck. She's been in Shands for that amount of time, has seen miraculous things happen. That night we went to the hospital, the doctors gave her little to no chance of survival. She came through it. We saw just miracle after miracle. And but a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago, she had gotten this bacterial infection. It was pretty brutal and took its toll on her body. And the doctors called this morning and said she's not going to make it through the night. And so went down there with Joe and sat in his mom's room. And, you know, I was there that first night when she went in there. And then I was there this morning. And we sat there, and he said, you know, they're going to give her morphine, and there's no hope for her. You know, they're going to turn off the machines. And so I sat with him. You know, we cried, we talked, prayed. And I said, let's just pray. And he was on one side with his mom and, you know, waiting on the doctors to come in to do, you know, what they said needed to be done. And so I'm on the other side, and we start praying and just talking to Beth and then praying for her. And, you know, I just prayed, God, I just pray that you would heal Beth however you see fit, God. If you raise her up out of this bed or you take her home, bring healing to her so she doesn't suffer anymore. The last few weeks have, you know, just been really tough. And so we prayed, and when we finished praying, said amen, all of a sudden there's this beep, 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 beep. And so me and Joe are like, what's going on? And nurse comes in, and Joe thought that he had messed with her sensor on her finger for the machine. And the nurse came in and checked the machine, and she grabbed the ultrasound thing and checked for a pulse, and she said, she's gone. And Joe's just like, you know, like God just took her home. And in that moment. Now, would we have wanted to see that miracle of her raising up out of that bed? Yeah. But man, I just thank God for the little bit of grace there. For a son to not have to go through that process of saying, hey, turn off the machine, and God just took her home. And then to look back at the last 9 months. And guys, if you'll get communion prepared and if the band will come up here, we're going to have a moment to just share the Lord's Supper in just a second. But to look at the last 9 months, I remember being in the hospital that night, and Joe was going, there's so many things I'm going to tell my mom. Actually, when the accident happened, they'd gotten in a little bit of a, you know, just, it was one of these things, mom and son, that day, and he's like, I need to tell her I love her, and the doctors are saying she's not going to make it, and then she makes it, and so plenty of time to say everything they needed to say. She sees her grandchild and is able to hold her grandchild, and so many things where we see God's hand. Do we still have questions? Yeah. Do I lack answers? Yeah, often. But I know this, God is good, and he is with us, and I saw him walk through that whole process from beginning to end, and Joe would tell you the same thing, even though he's got a lot of questions. And so I want to encourage you, and if you would stand with me, I'm going to read this passage from Luke 22, just a reminder of the last moments of Jesus' life with his disciples. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you that now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Jesus' life was a sacrifice and the perfect example for us. And he went through suffering, and we'll go through suffering. There's no promise we won't. In fact, he says, in this world you will have troubles, but I have overcome the world. And so as we walk through those struggles, he walks with us. But like I said in the beginning of this whole time today, we need one another to walk with us through it as well. And so God has put you in a place, and a place where you can build relationships, and you can be there and be Christ to one another as we walk through life. And God just makes himself, he shows up through us at times. And so I want us to remember him. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so remember him, his suffering, and give thanks for our lives today, people around you, and maybe just take a moment. And we have communion on either side and in the back. Take a moment. People around you who you love, family, whoever it might be, break that bread. Remember what Christ has done. Remember that this world is not our home, and it's fleeting. And ask him to help us to see things with eyes of eternity. And give him thanks for where you're at. Maybe it's a reset of the heart this morning. God, help us to trust you. Help us to love you. Help us to believe. Help us to hope. Believe in miracles. And when they don't come, to still believe and walk with you through whatever might come. So we're going to sing this song. As we sing, make your way to the communion tables, just as you, however you feel fit with family, friends, and let's worship together as we share communion.